Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
America Akbar.
Welcome, fellow infidels, to another episode of America Akbar. I'm your host, Gadi Edelman, and we have got an awesome, awesome show for you tonight. And I'm going to quote one of our callers from Tuesday night who said that he had been listening to Blog Talk for about two and a half years, and it was the best show he ever heard because their guest that night was Ann Barnhart. And we have Ann with us tonight as a guest. I have Reese on the line, my producer and co-host, but unfortunately, she seems to be having microphone problems. So yours truly is going to have to try and wing this producer thing in the beginning by himself. So we all know how technically challenged Gadi is, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But we'll say hi to Reese nonetheless. And Mo, we have Maureen with us tonight. Maureen, for those who didn't get to hear me, I had the privilege of co-hosting last Sunday on a regular radio station for a vacationing Dave Taylor, the name of the host, and Maureen was hosting the show. Was it an hour, Maureen, or 2 hours?
It was 2 hours.
Wow, we did a two-hour show. Oh, that's right. There were a lot of commercials.
Yeah, it went fast.
It went very fast. Well, Maureen, we have a little tradition here where I assign everybody some kind of music. So for, like, my co-host, Reese, I always play that. And then I have another co-host.
Very appropriate.
Well, I have another co-host named Jan, and you probably know Jan from Facebook, a very outspoken conservative. And she has got the most amazing green eyes, and everyone says she's very passionate about Islam, so we usually play this for her.
Green-eyed lady, passion lady.
So on a whim, I had to come up with something for my new news reporter, Maureen, so this is what I came up with, and we can always change it, but this was on the fly.
Hello.
Hello, Mo. You better come right over. You're missing one of the biggest things in your life.
All I could come up with was the Three Stooges. What can I say, you know?
Well, thank you. As long as you don't put an E at the end of it, it's just M-O.
I know, I know. Well, Maureen, listen, you've got the news for us tonight, so I'm going to throw it right your way. Nothing like throwing you to the wolves first night out. Go ahead and
tell us what's going on
in the news.
Well, a bizarre package arrived at the Albany office of State Senator Greg Ball on Tuesday. Staffers said they received a package containing a vial of liquid, a hate-filled letter, and a toy monkey wearing a Star of David. Also allegedly received a strange email on Tuesday morning. All of it prompted New York State Police to shut down his office. The state police, postal investigators, and the FBI are all investigating. This is pretty outlandish and horrific, Ball told Fox 23 News. The hate speech in it is very serious. We're taking it seriously, but we've got to continue to do our work. Both the email and the package appear to have come from a woman named Jamila Barnett in Marietta, Georgia. She listed her phone number in the email. Fox 23 News contacted Barnett by phone on Tuesday night. She says she's a grandmother who had read about Ball on the internet. She told Fox 23 News that she is a Muslim and is upset with the hearings that Ball is conducting in his role as chairman of the state Senate's Homeland Security Committee. Fox 23 News asked her why she sent Ball the email and package, and she responded, quote, to let him know how I felt about his racist hearings, end quote. Last week, Ball held hearings in New York City on New York's vulnerability to terrorism. He said, we're nearly 10 years out from 9/11, and the reality is that New York State, New York City, still has a soft underbelly. Barnett responded, he's vulnerable. He keeps messing with Muslims, and Muslims have not been harassing anyone. Barnett calls herself a messenger and insists that she is not a threat.
Now, I have a soundbite from when Fox actually called her before you continue with the little piece of news you have. And this is actually, what is her name, Jamila? Jamila?
Jamila Barnett.
Jamila Barnett. Sounds like a convert to me, but I'm just guessing. But I have this little soundbite I'll play. This is when she was asked what the liquid was, because they have not yet determined whether or not it's toxic. She's claiming it's perfume. So here's the actual soundbite.
We asked her about the vial of liquid that hazardous materials teams sent out to be tested.
You know what? I better tell you this because I don't want people to think I'm a dangerous person. It's just perfume oil.
It's just perfume oil. And she's not dangerous. She always sends, you know, little stuffed monkeys with Jewish stars on them. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Continue with your news.
Well, the New York City New York State police are investigating the incident, but Barnett says that she didn't mean any harm and hasn't been contacted by any law enforcement agencies. They have not called, Barnett says. The only call I've gotten was from you. She has also admitted to sending Congressman King a pig's foot as well. Well, as a side note, this is not the first time that Senator Ball has received a strange threat. Back in 2009, he says someone left a dead goat in front of his home.
Now, I got a question. How did she send him a pig's foot when they're not allowed to go near pork? I'm just throwing that out there. Was this prior to her
conversion? Maybe she mail ordered it.
I guess. Do you think that the little stuffed monkey with the star on it has anything at all to do with the fact that the Quran calls Jews pigs and monkeys?
Oh, do you think?
I don't know. It's just, you know.
That's a stretch. That one's a stretch there, Gotti.
Yeah, could
be. Let's turn our attention to the UAE. A 14-year-old girl will appear in court on a charge of adultery later this month, court sources have told Gulf News. The trial will start in spite of the age ceiling of 15 years set for trials on sexual-related crimes by the UAE law. Such cases should be conducted in special juvenile courts. Otherwise, suspects are considered victims rather than suspects. The 14-year-old girl was charged with adultery when she was caught meeting with her 25-year-old boyfriend on the rooftop of the building her family lives in. She was locked up for more than 2 weeks in an Ajman Central Jail with older women before being transferred to a juvenile center in Sharjah a day after Gulf News published her story. I did not inform the school about the incident, and I did not tell her brothers, too, said her father. They believe that she went to stay with her aunt in Abu Dhabi for some time. Public prosecutors refused to bail her out, despite the fact that we offered to keep more than 10 passports as security to bail her out, the distressed father said. He had earlier revealed how his daughter had been referred to a gynecologist for a virginity test. The man involved in the case was arrested later at a bar in Dubai.
So she was on a rooftop of the building where she lived with a 25-year-old, and she was arrested.
Not a smart girl, I would say. Not very bright.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said about the fact that she's 14 and he's 25, but notice that she's arrested and she's in jail. But, you know,
yeah.
Once again, I'm just saying, yeah.
Well, you know, we are talking about Sharia here. Okay, in Samaria, woman survives a road ambush. Sunday afternoon, Malka had just driven out of Ma'ala Lavona and began heading toward Ariel to see her son when she encountered a vehicle with Palestinian Authority license plates apparently trying to carry out a U-turn in a bend in the road. Two Arabs were standing outside the vehicle. They motioned to her, inviting her to drive past them. Something seemed wrong, however, and Malka decided to wait for the vehicle to complete its U-turn. At that point, the two Arabs approached her vehicle and tried to clamber onto it. I started driving, and they started pelting me with rocks, and at the same time, the Palestinian car started ramming me several times and tried to knock me off the road, she told Arud Shiva. Malka managed to drive away and to press the distress button in her car. The IDF contacted her and asked her to drive to Eli, where she underwent initial IDF questioning about the event. A representative of the Judea and Samaria police was also present. The attackers apparently fled to a nearby village of Sinjal. Attempted Arab ambushes against the community's inhabitants are not uncommon. Not long ago, a terrorist dressed as a Haredi Jew tried to abduct a woman, but a malfunction in his car foiled the attempt. Judea and Samaria police spokesman says that the attack was very grave and that serious efforts are being made to locate the suspects.
I'm glad we threw that one in there because people need to know that goes on a daily basis. You know, when you talk about profiling, if the license plates are still the same from when I lived in Israel, the Israeli cars have yellow license plates. They often reminded me of the same color and type that New Jersey has. And your Palestinians actually have different colored license plates. This was initially done so that during roadblocks and road checks, as well as people hitchhiking, you could see from afar by the license plate in the front or the rear whether it was a Palestinian or whether it was an Israeli. So depending on whether you live in the West Bank or whether you live in Gaza, you either have blue, when it's like a pale baby blue, or pink license plate. And, yeah, that's how she knew without getting out of her vehicle what was going on, and a good thing for her.
Yes, very much so. She's a smart lady. She had her wits about her. Okay, in Libya, Libyan rebels want to borrow at least $2 billion to buy food, medicine, fuel, and perhaps weapons, as their foreign allies agreed on the need to do more to help them to prevail over Muammar Gaddafi's forces. Members of the so-called Libyan contact group said in a statement in Qatar that they may create a temporary financial mechanism to finance the rebels using Libyan government assets frozen abroad. Short-term loans are an option on the table that we discussed at the Qatar meeting, a finance minister said in an interview in Benghazi. The borrowing, which may be for as long as 2 years, could be repaid when Libyan assets are unfrozen. Reserves at the rebels' central bank in Benghazi may not be enough to cover import needs for a month, he also stated. The contact group, which includes the U.S., the U.K., France, and other countries lending military support, agreed at the meeting that Gaddafi and his regime had lost all legitimacy and he must leave power, allowing the Libyan people to determine their own future, according to a statement released yesterday after the meeting in Doha. Qatari Prime Minister said his country would look into supplying military equipment to the rebels. In London, Prime Minister David Cameron told the BBC that the UK would provide body armor. Cameron and French President Nicolas Sarkozy, who met in Paris yesterday, reaffirmed their commitment to ousting Gaddafi and called for no let-up in air attacks, according to a French official. The leaders agreed that arming the rebels wouldn't violate the United Nations embargo.
You know, I've got to go ahead. I have a follow-up to this. I just want to throw this out there real quick, then you can finish it. And this is just come across Haaretz, which is the only newspaper that I read for the most part out of Israel. But Al-Qaeda's deputy leader, that would be Ayman al-Zawahiri, released a video today calling on all Muslim nations to fight the forces of Muammar Gaddafi. So once again, I throw the question out there. Who are these rebels, and who are we helping? But go on. You can now continue with your story.
Yes, sir. There are divisions among NATO countries over the means to achieve democracy in Libya, though the allies are united toward the goal of Gaddafi stepping down. NATO foreign ministers, including U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, meet Thursday in Berlin to consider what further actions might be taken by the alliance, which has been stymied in its effort to stop the assault on Misrata. Gaddafi's actions in Misrata may constitute war crimes, Clinton had said in a statement on Wednesday. She gave no indication of what additional steps NATO can take to stop it. The rebels' interim government appealed to the United Nations to declare Misrata an internationally protected zone and help prevent a massacre of men, women, and children in the besieged city.
Why would there be a massacre of women and children? I thought this was the religion of peace. Oh, I'm so confused.
So they say. Well, we want to look at the Sharia law ban map here in the United States and point out that both Tennessee and Louisiana had passed variations of the American Public Policy Alliance's American Law for American Courts legislation in 2010. Alaska, Arkansas, Arizona, Georgia, Indiana, Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, and Wyoming are all working on similar legislation. Unfortunately, Florida, Mississippi, and Utah's attempts have failed.
Well, and for now, all those that have succeeded, a round of applause.
Well, except Unfortunately, Oklahoma, where 71% of the population had voted for the ban on Islamic Sharia law, may now be squarely in the tried but failed category thanks to a liberal activist judge there.
Yes, we had Rex Duncan, who was the author of that bill, twice on our show as a guest. Wonderful guy. And I do want to also point out that map that Maureen just read is not 100% correct. I know for a fact that there's other states that are currently working on trying to put some sort of bill through their state house on, you know, anti-Sharia laws. But until it's actually written and brought to the House floor, they're afraid to even mention it. Now, I will explain that the way I know this is because I've been consulted by one particular state to help them with this, and that state will remain nameless because they've asked to be so. And the reason is they're afraid of the Council on American Islamic Relations. Gee, what a shocker. They know that if it gets out there before they bring it to the House floor, they're going to have an uphill battle. So there are other states working on it besides the ones that Maureen just read, which is a good thing, but we'll have to wait and see how it pans out.
Well, and the point to be made is anybody who shares these concerns needs to keep lobbying their legislators, calling them, encouraging them, letting them know that their constituency wants these bans, wants these anti-Sharia laws passed. That's going to be key to encouraging legislators to keep moving ahead.
I knew you'd get that word out sooner or later.
It's been like 12 hours since I had any coffee. So,
hey, you know, see, I knew this was going to happen because I don't have Reese on, and we've had our guest now who's been extremely patient for 15 minutes, and I feel bad. But we have a call-in number, so I'm going to give out our call-in number in case anybody wants to call in, and then we'll introduce our guest. And that I'm assuming, Maureen, without looking at my notes, that that was it for the news?
It sure was.
Awesome. Are you going to hang out for a little while?
For a few moments.
I hope so. Don't go anywhere. Our phone number.
Area code 347-857-1380.
Thank you, Mr. Trade Martin. 857-1380. Area code 347-857-1380. And I've already got some people calling in. Reese, I see you in the switchboard, and I don't know whether or not you're actually there. If your mic is on, go ahead and give it a shot.
No, this is me.
Hi.
My mic is not working tonight, so I'm kind of juggling things here. So, you know, just bear with me.
Welcome, Reese. Well, listen, everybody, the moment you've been waiting for, we have a fabulous guest on the line, and I think she's been ultimately patient enough, so you win the patience award there. Everybody, I'd like to welcome to the show. If you haven't seen her video, and Reese, you can go ahead and throw that video link up in the chat room and welcome everybody in the chat room. I'm pretty sure everybody's seen that video. Her video went viral, and if you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. This girl is a pistol, and I cannot wait to talk to her. So a round of applause. Welcome, Ann Barnhart. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what up, everybody? Thanks for having me, guys.
What up? I love it. She's laid back, a pistol and laid back. I have got many questions for you. You have no idea, and I hope that you don't find us too boring, and you'll stick around for a little bit here. I tell you,
nothing will make you kick back and relax like having 1.8 billion people want to saw your head off. I highly recommend it. It's awesome.
Oh, this is going to be good. I can
keeps you on your toes, doesn't it, Ann?
That's right. That's right. I've lost 12 pounds in the last week and a half. So I think I need to put out like a weight loss video program or something. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. Speaking of your video, you don't look like you can afford to lose 12 pounds because you look like you're about 70 soaking wet.
No. I was rocking $130 when I made
Ooh.
The video. But I lift and I work out, so I had some muscle mass that I could shed, and I can't say that I mind at all. I'm now quite svelte, so I'm feeling good.
Svelte. So listen,
weight loss for patriots.
Yep.
There you go. We could do a video for that. And plug your website and how people can get a hold of you, because you do have a regular job, like most of us. So go ahead and plug away, and then we'll get into all our different questions.
Yeah, you bet. My commodity brokerage's website, if anybody would happen to be interested, but that is where I blog. I'm nowhere else. I'm not on Facebook. I don't do any of that stuff. So the only place you can find the actual me is at www.barnhart, that's spelled BARNHART.biz, B-I-Z.
Well, awesome. As soon as we get off the air tonight, and I should have done it beforehand, so I apologize. I will link through my website to yours so people can just go to GottiEdelman.com if they don't remember your name. Hopefully they remember mine and they can get to your website. Tell me, you've got a commodities brokerage, as you've mentioned. You're out there. You're hopefully making a good living. It's your own business. I'm sure you're working 24/7 at that. What in the heck possessed you to go out there and make this video?
Oh, dude, I just had enough. You know, all of this stuff going on, it started with 9/11. It proceeded throughout the decade of the 2000s. The election of Obama's election, I knew that was just disaster from literally that night. And then the straw that just broke the camel's back was Lindsey Jackass Graham. I read what he said and was just like, oh, hell no, it is on now. Enough is enough.
Oh my gosh! You need to not beat around the bush and just let it out, because you know it's not healthy to hold this stuff in. You are a trip, girl.
I know. I'm such a shrinking violet. I'm gonna have a heart attack at some point just holding all this stress in. But you know, I'm 34, so I'm just gonna internalize it for the next couple of decades, and then hopefully I'll make it to 50.
Gosh, Mo Reese, you hear this? She's only 34. She's a baby.
Oh, it's going to help her develop a strong character.
Let's hope so. I don't think she's going to have any problem with the strong character part, having listened to her on the radio and seen her video. I do have one bone to pick with you, though. I told Reese I was going to yell at you for this. You ruined perfectly good bacon for your video.
That has been the totality of the negative feedback. One of my favorite comments that I got early on was somebody just sent the simple phrase, "Why you waste food?" You know, that sums it all up. You know, what people are so concerned about the bacon. What happened to the bacon? Did you cook the bacon? And of course, the answer to that is no, because it was totally defiled because it had been in contact with the Koran. Dude, I couldn't cook it and eat it. It was defiled. So no, it just went in the trash.
Oh, that's a shame. You could have cooked it in your little fireball with the Quran pages and just sizzled it right there. But, you know, you chose to just...
I didn't think that far
enough
ahead. I should have set up a hibachi kind of a thing. Yeah, you're right. Next time. It'll be a cooking show / political commentary.
Passion doesn't allow somebody to think that far ahead.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Well, I found it funny that while watching the video, the first couple of pieces that you pulled out and threw to the side, you could actually hear them slap the table.
And it's all in the wrist. When you're throwing bacon, you have to have that wrist flick to get it to slap properly. Yes.
Well, from the little bit I heard, and I will admit I have not had a chance to listen to all of your audios on the radio and your interviews, you know what you're talking about when it comes to Islam, when it comes to the Quran, when it comes to Sharia. When did you actually start really getting in and studying this? How long have you been at this?
9/11.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I remember sitting on the sofa during that morning watching those people jump. And, to my mind, when I saw that happen, there was no way that I was just going to blow that off. There's no way that I'm not going to figure out what the deal is here. Was this just a one-off? Are these people just freaky, freaky extremists within the Muslim religion, kind of like the same way we could all look at the freaky Westboro Baptist Church people? Is it kind of like that, or is it not? And as soon as I started doing any digging at all and looking at the Quran and looking at the surahs and looking at the hadiths, it's the most evil, twisted, perverted, unredeemable political system on the face of the earth. There is nothing about it that is good. It is rotten to the core. And why it is that other people, especially people in the media, how can you be in the media and you haven't done any research on any of this. And you know what? Most of those people live in New York City. They were there. They physically saw that happen. They didn't watch it on TV. They looked out their window, and they saw those towers go down. How could you not? How could there be this failure to research what the situation is? I don't get it. I don't understand.
Testifies to the depth of their commitment to the liberal agenda. What that tells me. And that's what.
But, you know, it's not just the liberals. What about the conservatives? What about O'Reilly, who's allegedly supposed to be kind of more sort of to the right? What about Hannity? What about all of these people? Why can't these people quote chapter and verse? Why aren't these people exposing all this? And why haven't they been exposing it for the last 10 years? It blows my mind.
That's a very good point, Ann.
You're absolutely right, and this is what we've been saying on this radio show for a year now, isn't it, Reese? Has it been a year yet? But, yeah, I mean, this is the one thing that I constantly am screaming about is when – and we just did a show on it 2 weeks ago when O'Reilly had Noni Darwish on, and then the following night he had some representative from a Islamic group on, and he didn't back up his questions. He would ask a question and just accept the answer – because he's ignorant when it comes to Islam. He doesn't know about the order in which it's in the Quran. He doesn't know about abrogation. And this guy started quoting verses to him and ran circles around him, and he's like, oh, okay. And it ticks me off because they have no clue.
Well, it's not just that. It's the fact that they're all whores. Why is Bill O'Reilly ignorant? Why does he choose to remain ignorant, and why does he let people get away with that? Because he is addicted to the paycheck. All he cares about is getting paid. And if he steps up and confronts this, then he knows that he's probably going to lose his job and lose his paycheck. See, there's no willingness for anybody in this culture to push their chips all in. We're all addicted to our money. We're all addicted to our material possessions. We're all addicted to our careers. Well, Ann, I really respect what you did, but you got to understand, I work in a corporate environment and I can't do anything like that. The hell you can't! The hell you can't. Of course you can. You're just choosing not to because you're placing your own corporate career track ahead of the well-being of your country and your culture and the world. Don't send me any emails that say, you're awesome, I respect what you do, but you got to understand I can't follow in your tracks for this, 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 and this reason. I'm not interested. No, you can follow and you can back me up. It's just that you've chosen not to. I have 3 small businesses. I have a lot to lose in this deal. I could potentially lose everything and up to and including my life, and I've pushed everything in. There comes a point where you have to say to yourself, I would rather die on my feet than live on my knees. And that's where I am.
Absolutely. Very, very well said. I'm going to wear out the applause button tonight. We have got our other co-host, Jan, has finally decided to join us.
The other fireball. Did I not tell you Ann Barnhart?
Rehab ladies, passion ladies.
Welcome back, Jan. How you doing?
I'm great. I see you have the other fireball on, so you're doing just fine without me. And I'm so glad that you're here. I'm the one who told Gotti earlier this week. I've been watching your stuff on the internet, and I said, we have got to get this woman on. You're as passionate as I am. Maybe even, I don't know. We're pretty equal in levels of passion, and I've had to tone down significantly on this show to keep from making Gotti have a heart attack. But I'm so glad that we have you here tonight.
All right, let's tag team, sister. Let's do it.
I'm afraid with the two of you on, I'm just waiting for my computer to burst into flames right now because this is a dangerous mix having the two of you. But, oh, my God, Anne, what you just said, you are so right. And, you know, this is what we say week in and week out on Radio Jihad, on America Akbar. I write about it in my articles. Jan puts it on her Facebook page. Reese puts it on hers. And I haven't mentioned it yet, but Maureen has just started a new Act for America chapter in Fayetteville, North Carolina, home of Fort Bragg, Special Forces. Hoorah! So, and when is your first meeting, Maureen?
It's Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday, April 19th.
This coming Tuesday, and everybody listening, if you're in the North Carolina area, Dave Gabatz, the author of The Muslim Mafia, is going to be the keynote speaker at their kickoff meeting. I'm going to be there and introduce Dave. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody out there. So if Dave and I can travel to it, you guys certainly can. But, yeah, we're looking forward to that. So it's Tuesday night. I got to remember that so I don't, so I'm not late.
Please, please don't be late. I really think that this is probably going to be, it has all the makings of being one of the largest, most significant Act for America meetings in Eastern North Carolina this year.
That will be awesome, and I can't wait to see everybody out there. But anyway, we're taking time away from Ann again. I keep going off on tangents. I warned Jan I was going to do that. No.
Be as tangential as you would like.
Now, tell me what's happened in your personal life since this. Have you felt any backlash because, you know, be it business-wise, have you had any clients leave or say, I can't do business with you any longer, or has it actually gone the other way?
No. All my existing clients are here. I have had business inquiries, but a lot of the people who are inquiring think that I'm a money manager and that I can get them into mutual funds and things like that. That's not what I do. The thrust of my business is extraordinarily specific. I trade cattle and grain futures and options contracts, and the cattle industry is my total specialty. That's all I do. So unless you're actually running cattle and you want me to tell you how to trade your cattle in sale barns and help you hedge them with futures and options contracts, I'm not going to open an account with you. I'm not a money manager. I'm not an average kind of a commodity broker like that. So gotten lots of very kind requests, but I always politely reply and say, no, I'm afraid that's not what I do. So
you do realize that any chance you had to being in the oil commodities brokerage is like out the window right now.
Oh, I can execute oil, and I did some crude options today. So I can do that. It's just not my specialty.
That is awesome. Well, I'm glad to hear this because you really would think that in today's society, anyone that's out in the public that has a business like yours, that you would feel some kind of backlash on that. And I'm glad to hear that you're not, because that gives more credence to what you just said, to tell people, you know, do you want to die on your knees or do you want to just remain standing up? I mean, this is what people need to do, and this is what we talk about week in and week out. So I'm glad you took the bull by the horns, no pun intended, since you do.
But, Gotti, people do suffer. People do suffer, and they are afraid to speak out against Islam. You know as well as I do, when I first started making my post on Facebook about my idea for dealing with Islam in this country, people, well, even Reese said, oh, that's a little radical. I don't know. And people were afraid to comment it. And I've reposted it a number of times over the past 6 months, and each time I post it, more and more people are stepping mm-hmm. forward and saying, you know what? It's going to take something this radical. It's going to take something this extreme to eliminate this problem here. We've got to deal with it aggressively. We can't be reactive. We've got to be proactive.
Oh, absolutely.
And reactive is
9/11 all over again.
Right. That's right. We cannot continue to be reactive, and we cannot appease these people. We're going to have to be proactive. We need to understand why they do what they do and understand that they're not going to change their mentality. More and more people are getting brave enough to respond, at least on Facebook. For the longest time, people would send me private messages and say, I'm right with you, girl, but I can't really respond on that. You know, I'll lose my job, or I'm afraid of death threats. And I'm wondering, do you get death threats? I did notice on your website you have a pink AR.
Oh, yeah. I've made it very, very clear that I am more heavily armed here than the French Army, which isn't saying much. But, you know, for an individual in Denver, it's pretty cool. If they want to come here and they want a piece of me, if they bring enough of them, they might even get me. But they will taste my lead before it's all over. That's a promise. But the reality of the situation is that we are losing this war, and we are being beaten by PSYOPs, psychological operations.
Oh, absolutely.
They have been perpetrating PSYOPs on us for, you know, going on decades now. They have an entire civilization of people terrified of even speaking. The whole deal with the bacon. I mean, think about the bacon and me putting the bacon bookmarks in the Quran. It's bacon. It's the flesh of a pig. It's made out of protein, fat tissue, and a little connective tissue. It's mostly water. The pages of the book I had are wood pulp cellulose with probably a soybean-based ink on it. And this entire civilization has been so manipulated by these enemy psyops that everybody believes that if I touch that piece of bacon, that protein, fat, connective tissue, and it's mostly water, to those pieces of paper, which are wood pulp cellulose and soybean ink, that some Stone Age juju freaky voodoo god is going to swoop down out of the sky and smite me and cut my head off. We have got to grow the hell up. We are living in the Stone Age with these inbred people in this Muslim civilization, and we're getting beaten into the ground by this. Rise up. Use your brains. Don't fall for this Stone Age ridiculous superstition. That's what it all is. That's what we're being beaten by.
And wow. When you brought up the word... You brought up the term inbreeding. You know, there are a lot of people that do not realize. I don't know if you have you read the article on from the American Thinker about the level of inbreeding that occurs in Islam, which
I wrote that.
Shocked.
Jan, did you hear?
Oh, you did. Of course, I'm sitting here
Yes.
I just saw that yesterday, and I was looking at the statistics, and it blew my mind. Where did you get those stats?
Oh, it's you just Google Muslim inbreeding and it comes right up. And these are major citations. It's the Journal for Reproductive Medicine, I think, and the other citation I used was the BBC, not exactly a bastion of hard right thought, the BBC, right? Over in the UK, this is a massive, massive problem. The entire National Health Service, which is the UK's version of Obamacare, is being monstrously burdened by the fact that they have all these Muslims coming in, and all of these Muslims keep having these horrifically developmentally disabled and deformed and physically disabled children because they're all cousins. They're all marrying their first cousins and their double cousins, and they've been doing this for 1,400 years. And the thing that's so twisted is this inbreeding has been going on so intensely and for so long that if somebody marries their first cousin, it wouldn't be the same as if someone in the United States married their first cousin, because it would just be one single inbreeding event. Not that that wouldn't be completely gross, it would be, but it would just be one single isolated event. These people have been inbreeding back in on themselves for 1,400 years. So when they marry their first cousin is not only their first cousin, but the first cousin is also their second cousin once removed. And I'm not kidding. You know, and if you can map all of this, these people are marrying the same genetic pool over and over again, and people will say, well, that you never see any mentally retarded children in the Muslim world. You never see any of these deformed children in the Muslim world. What are you talking about? Yeah, do you know why? Because when those children are born, they're immediately killed.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. Take a deep breath. And that gives, you know, people make jokes like that about West Virginia. It gives a whole new outlook to that joke. While we're talking about your article in American Thinker, one of the people in the chat room is my editor from Family Security Matters, who has just given you an open invitation to write for Family Security Matters.
Aw, thank you so much.
So we need to know whether or not you're going to submit. If you do want to submit an article to FSM, just let me know via email.
Okay.
You have my email address, and I'll pass it on to Adrian, who's in the chat room.
Turned on to the problem with Islam? Was this something that happened after 9/11 with you? Is it something that you've been studying before that?
It was 9/11, and then the more you learn, the learning about female genital mutilation, my gosh. And then what also accelerated it is when honor killings, especially when honor killings started happening in the United States and Canada. Can you imagine being strangled to death by your own father or your own brother? Can you imagine the terror of not just being killed, but being killed by one of the people who is supposed to love you the most in this world?
There was a case not that long ago in Canada where a girl was strangled by her own mother, and her mother used her headscarf to do it. So, she got off, by the way, totally scot-free on that one. I've written several articles, more than I care to think about, on the honor killings that go on in the United States and in Western America as a whole, you know, not just here, but Canada and the UK. And it's rising everywhere, and everywhere it's rising, all you have to do is look at the amount of immigration or that particular area's Islamic population. And then, of course, they scream it's cultural, but it's amazing that it always seems to be that same culture.
Well, the only people on the face of the earth who do such things are Muslims. I don't believe there is another culture on the face of the earth that does anything like that. Everyone else on the face of the earth, you love your family, you love your children, you defend your children. You don't murder and kill your own children. And the excuses they give, she's too westernized. I mean, these are completely concocted, made up reasons. There's no logic behind any of it. The truth of the matter is they probably just don't want the financial burden, and their hearts are so evil and so filled with darkness that they're capable of murdering in cold blood someone who they have lived with for their entire lives and supposed to have loved for their entire lives. This is terrifying.
And can we talk about what your solutions are for America? Because we've got, you know, we're up against this huge wall of resistance from not only Islam, obviously, in this country, but also against the liberals and socialists who do not want, well, you heard Graham, Lindsey Graham, the other day. He's wanting to come up with some sort of legislation making it a crime to disrespect Islam in this country, basically just trampling our First Amendment rights. So you've got legislators with that mentality. What, you know, how are we going to address this problem in our country?
Well, let's see. Domestically, I think we need to start talking about charging people with treason again. Nobody has been charged with treason in this country in a very, very long time. If you are allied with a political system that is the sworn, declared enemy of the United States, and you are giving aid and comfort to that political system, which is what Lindsey Graham is doing.
Of the United States. We would have to start with the president.
Well, we don't have a president right now. He is not the president of the United States. There is an illegal usurper. There's an illegal usurper sitting in the White House who should be arrested, who should be frog marched out of the White House in chains, who should be put on trial for treason. Let me check that. If he is even a citizen of the United States, he should be charged with treason and sedition. If he is not a citizen of the United States, he should be charged and tried as an enemy combatant. Either way, if justice is served, he should spend the rest of his life in a cell in Florence, Colorado, for what he has done. So, yes, that's number one. Then
or
we need to start... I'm sorry, say again?
I said, or Gitmo.
Well, we want him in Florence because he is going to be a risk of starting a political system elsewhere or being a martyr or some sort of a martyred political prisoner or something like that. No, he needs to be in Florence so that he cannot wreak any more havoc anywhere else. There needs to be consequences for this. If we are not willing to defend our own nation against treason and sedition, if people know that they can engage in treason and sedition against the United States of America and there will never, ever, ever be any consequences, if they know they will never, ever be charged with a crime, well then what the hell? Are we even a sovereign nation anymore if we're saying it's a free-for-all? You can commit treason if you want to?
And it's beginning to feel like we're not a sovereign nation anymore because so many states are talking about pulling out. I mean, our governor of Texas sent a cease and desist proclamation to Washington recently. I don't know if you are aware of that, but Governor Rick Perry, states are fed up. And look at what Arizona is having to go through. You know, can't even enforce their own immigration laws that are not any more stringent than the federal immigration laws. It's become a contest between the state and federal government, and the federal government wants to bully the states.
That's exactly what they want, though. They're all about the destabilization. There's nothing that they would like better than for there to be a full-blown civil war type of a situation because they want to overthrow and collapse the country. You've got to get your head around this. You cannot comprehend anything that they are doing unless you start from the correct premise of what their objective is. Their objective is and always has been they want to collapse the country. They want to eliminate the Constitution and the rule of law under the Constitution, and they want to rebuild a new Marxist state in its place run by them. And they're doing a damn good job of it. And if we don't wake up, if we keep operating on the premise that these people are on our side and that they just have a different mindset and all of their motives are completely altruistic and pure, we're going to lose. These people are the enemy. They are. Obama is an enemy usurper. The entire Obama regime, they are trying to destroy the country. Look what they've done to the economy. Look what they're doing. You can't print $5 trillion in 2 years in a country that only has a $14.5 trillion GDP and think that the economy can absorb that. They know exactly what they're doing. They're driving to collapse the country. You've got to comprehend this.
And so what, you know, you were going down the list of what we can do, because there are millions of people out here who agree with you but don't know what to do. You know, what do we do besides, you know, gripe about it and complain to our legislators and try to elect the right people? What else can we individually do?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to call anybody to violence. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so concerned about this fake Facebook page that is up in my name. I'm afraid that this person who's running this Facebook page is going to start putting horrible words in my mouth. But
right.
What you've got to do is you've got to turn off the gosh darn TV and quit dorking around and get off your butt and do something. And I'm glad you brought up the point about, you know, griping at your elected representatives. Every time I get on the internet and I read some comment thread where it says, oh, you got to fax your congressman, you got to fax your senator, burn up their phone lines, email, I'm just pounding my head on my desk. Do you honestly believe that those filthy, filthy people in the United States Congress give a crap what you think? Do you think they care? Do you think they look at the faxes that they get into their office? Do you think that they're actually reading their emails? Do you think they're actually reading the messages that that their staffers are taking on their phone lines? They don't give a crap what you think. We're just wasting our time. It wouldn't matter how many millions of people. We could march 10 million people on Washington, D.C. tomorrow, and none of these people, they would completely dismiss it. They'd call us all a bunch of racist hillbilly bigots and bitter clingers. It would all be completely dismissed. So I don't know what the solution is. I know that there are a few good people out there that have a chance of turning things around, and the one that I'm behind four square is Representative Lieutenant Colonel Alan West. In my opinion, he is the only viable candidate for president, and I'd love to see Mr. Herman Cain on the ticket with him, because Mr. Cain has all of the business chops. He's a CEO. He's a former CEO of a big company or big companies. He's done it multiple times. He's turned big companies around. He knows how to run a business and get it into the black. He knows about finance. And if you think about it, the United States is kind of like a big business. It has revenues coming in and expenses going out, and it needs to operate in the black. So Herman Cain could be running the domestic policy and spearheading what we need to do to correct our economy, while President West, oh, doesn't that sound wonderful, while President West is the commander-in-chief while we're fighting this war. And in my opinion, let's quit dorking around. We're in World War III right now. World War III is happening. I mean, we're in three combat theaters right now. What else do you need? We're
in
World War III, so
we could be in more combat situations.
Oh, you're darn right we could.
Because they're going on everywhere. And the problem is with West is that he will not run, or at least the last time I checked, his response was, no, I'm not going to run for president. Not
lean
this
on
time.
Him. Lean on him. He's a smart man. He knows the situation. He knows battlefield tactics.
And he knows Islam.
He knows Islam, and he knows timetables. Yes,
and he loves the United States of America.
That's
as
right.
It is
That's
now.
Right.
And if it becomes evident and abundantly clear that there is no hope but in him running, he can be persuaded.
I think so, too.
Well, to answer, I got to answer Jan's question, and then I want to make a comment to what your answer just was, Anne. Act for America, as well as other grassroots organizations, is one way. If you feel that you're not getting anywhere writing or calling your representatives or your legislatures, I mean, Act for America has grown tenfold over the past several years, and it really shows how many people are getting involved, and they do have a lobbyist in Washington. But I got to say, Anne, you yourself pointed out West and Kane. There are a lot of people out there that are in Congress now, that are in the Senate now, that just came aboard with this overwhelming tidal wave that happened in November of Tea Party activists that I think do care. And
they
I think
do,
depending
I think
on
it
where
is,
you
it,
live.
Yeah, it does. It does make a difference. That's the only. That's the only thing ever in the history of Anne Barnhart that I think I disagree with, and that is that it does do some good to call your representatives. Some of them, you're right, Anne, they do not listen. But especially
right.
the
right.
new guys, they're scared to death. They are scared because we have given them a clear directive. There's no chance that they don't understand what the people who elected them want, and.
Right.
I think that we do have to let them know, and whether it does any good or not, we still have to do it because that's the way our system is supposed to work, and then they know if they don't follow through, they're out the next time because we
well,
made
well,
it
and the other,
what they want.
Right.
The
Go
other
ahead.
Thing that segues into, though, is the necessity for term limits.
Yes,
this whole
absolutely.
Idea of these
yes,
politicians
yes, yes.
being completely, it's their entire career. And the example
right.
I give is Harry Reid. When Harry
yeah.
Reid first entered Congress, he had a net worth in the low six figures. He now has an eight-figure net worth. How in the hell did that happen? I am a small business owner. How in the hell did that happen? He's not
well, we
been doing
exactly
business.
We know exactly how it happened.
Well, yeah, but I'd like to see the paperwork on that. And if we saw the paperwork on that, there's another person who would be sitting in jail for a long, long time. That can't be legal. There's no way. So take away this whole career mentality and get it back. One term and you're done. And I would approve of a constitutional amendment where that applied to the presidency as well. You get 4 years. That's plenty. And then if we like what you did, we'll elect someone who will do something very, very similar to what you did during your 4 years. But one and you're done. And back to the notion of what the founders really wanted, and that is almost a citizen volunteer type of a governance, you know? It's not a for-profit endeavor to go to Washington. It's almost a sacrifice that you would make. And I think what they envisaged is people that were, you know, probably in their 50s or 60s who had been in the real world, had careers, and said, okay, now I have a little bit of money around me. I'm either going to temporarily walk away from my business or even retire from my business or my career. I'm going to go to Washington. I'm going to serve a term, and then I'm going to come home.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what the founders wanted.
Yeah, there's
sure
a reason. There's a reason they called it public service.
Yeah,
you're absolutely
service.
Right. I wouldn't mind seeing two terms for Congress and Senate, but only for one reason. If you look at the shape we're in now, a lot of times it does take more than two years or 4 years to straighten things out. But I agree with you 100%. I don't think we should have more than two terms. I mean, these guys that are up there for 50 years, it's ridiculous. And Harry Reid is a perfect example. You're absolutely right.
Yep.
And do you believe that Islam should lose its religious designation, tax-exempt religious designation in this country, and be banned from practice here?
Absolutely. I'll take it a step further. I think that in order for us to win this war, we have to declare war against the caliphate. And what that would accomplish is that I know a lot of people on the right side of the spectrum have big problems with the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act would become moot, and that whole dynamic would be unnecessary if we would just man up and declare war. What the Patriot Act is trying to do is it's trying to equalize U.S. citizens with enemy combatants. That's what the whole problem is. You
well,
can't fight
and
win
war
a war.
Huh? They've declared war against us already. The
well,
war
exactly.
against us is declared in their Quran. It's written verse after verse after verse.
That's right. And if you look, it's just obvious. This nation has not declared war since World War II. And we really haven't had that good of a track record in wars since World War II. The Korean conflict was a draw. In fact, it's still just in a state of armistice.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to talk about Vietnam. The first Gulf War, why didn't we go in and grease Saddam when we had the chance? I mean, you cannot fight and win a war if you don't even have the stones to declare war. And then if you refuse to declare war, you've got now all these massive legal problems that are tangling you up as you're trying to prosecute an undeclared war. That's where all the Patriot Act problems come in. Everything gets solved if we just declare war. And then, of course, yes, Islam is not a religion. It is a political system. It would be like saying we would let Nazis into this country in 1942, let them build meeting halls and have Nazi rallies in their meeting halls here in the United States and say that that was all completely constitutionally protected. That is exactly what we are doing with Islam. And so we've got to man up or they're going to win.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Listen, it is 8:55. I want to give out our phone number one more time, and we're going to take a quick break and let everybody catch their breath. It is 347-857-1380. Reese, if your speaker is working and there's any questions in the chat room when we come back from break, you can pass those on. And then, Ann, when we come back, I have some questions of people that posted questions for you on my Facebook page, which is
okay.
My Facebook page. So we're going to take a short break, and we're going to play Lisa Mae Norton. Help me out, Reese. Where is Lisa Mae? This is what happens when I have to play producers, see? Don't say anything, Jan. I know what you're thinking. Here we go. Lisa Mae Norton, Heroes Creed, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Our homeland attacked, another day in infamy, left us shaken to the core. Oh, innocence taken. So suddenly, that September morn, our towers fell, the world stood still, the Pentagon hit in D.C. Let's roll, set our heroes in the sky, on flight 93. We are a nation of heroes when faced with adversity. Everyday people, extraordinary deeds. Oh, no greater love than when one lays down his life. Live free or die, a hero's creed. We salute our first responders, some paid with their lives to save those in harm's way. Photographs and memories are all we have left of loved ones lost that day. Our nation responded, determined not to yield to terrorists far away and near. We're fighting for freedom on distant battlefields, so we may live without fear. We are a nation of heroes when faced with adversity. Everyday people, extraordinary deeds. Oh, no greater love than when one lays down his life. Live free or die, a hero's creed. Here's the past, no tax on our land. We owe it to those who heed the call. The tree of liberty, oh, still proudly stands in honor of those who gave all. Live for nothing, or die for something. Heroes never hesitate. We must stand our ground, no room to fail. Our freedom is at stake. We are a nation of heroes when faced with adversity. Everyday people, extraordinary deeds. Oh, no greater love than when one lays down his life. Live free or die, a hero's dream. No greater love than when one lays down his life. Live free or die, a hero's dream. Oh, 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 don't tread on me. Live free or die, a hero's dream. Oh, no, oh, don't tread.
And that is Lisa Mae Norton. Thank you, Lisa. I don't know if you're in the chat room tonight. She usually listens to the show, and I can't thank her enough. Beautiful song. Everybody can go to bigdogmusicmafia.com. Dog is spelled D-A-W-G, and you can get Lisa's music as well as a lot of other wonderful, wonderful conservative artists who have been kind enough to let us use their music without us having to pay royalties, because we don't make any money doing this. All we do is make our blood pressure go up. So, we are back. Maureen Yerby, who read the news for us at the top of the first hour, had to leave. Maureen, thank you so much. Great job with the news. And we might make that beginning 10 minutes of news a weekly thing. If Maureen's up for it, I'm definitely up for it. She's a natural on the radio. Of course, she does radio anyway, so this is good for her. And we are back with Ann. I want everybody to call in. It is 347-857-1380. It is now past 9 o'clock East Coast time, and that means your cell calls are free. And I've got a bunch of different questions for Ann. First, I wanted to ask Reese. Reese, was there anything in the chat room as far as questions went?
Yeah, and I have to kind of giggle about this one, because the other night, when Ann was on with Radio Jihad, Vito and Alan, the guys in the chat room were just absolutely okay. I'm one of them. I was drooling too. but one of the questions that was asked was, how many marriage proposals have you had out of this?
Hundreds.
How many of those proposals were by Muslims? That's what I want to know.
Oh, there you go.
Zero.
That you know.
That you know of, exactly.
Right. And I asked, there's another question I'm waiting for her to formulate it, because I told her to go ahead. She said it was off topic. So go ahead and ask her your stuff, and then I'll bump in when I can.
Well, I didn't want to throw too many, you know, current event questions at you, Ann, because this is kind of off topic, but it does have to do with Islam. And one of the questions that I was asked on Facebook was about the upcoming flotilla that's going to Gaza in May, and what your thoughts on that were, as far as, you know, I mean, this whole thing ties into Israel and the way the United States has pretty much shunned our greatest ally in the Middle East, and everything that's going on there now. We've talked about this at length on this show. So, you know, do you have any thoughts on the flotilla as far as
that? Oh, yeah. It's not us. It's the Obama regime. It's not just that they're shunning Israel. They are setting Israel up. That
Absolutely.
Is what the whole deal in Libya is. The deal in Libya, they don't give a crap about Muammar Gaddafi. That is just a shaping action. All that is was establishing the precedent of the executive branch sending us into a war theater without any congressional approval whatsoever, and doing it in the name of a quote-unquote human rights imperative.
Exactly.
Why are they doing this? They are setting up Israel. They are fomenting Muslims to move on Israel, and then as soon as Israel defends themselves, the Obama regime, and I know this sounds crazy, but the Obama regime is going to try to move against Israel.
I love this woman. I'm just going to tell everybody I love this woman. Reese, how many weeks ago did I give this exact same scenario? It was before we even started being over top of Libya in this so-called, what do they call that stupid thing? They're not even calling it a war.
Kinetic military action.
Thank you.
Oh, I thought it was a humanitarian action.
Yeah, well, no fly zone, whatever you want to call it. Didn't I, Reese? How many weeks ago did I say this? He's setting a precedent.
January, February time frame, wasn't it?
Exactly. It is the exact same thing I said. And you watch, people, because September is coming and the Palestinian Authority is going to ask the UN to vote on whether or not they can have statehood. And the moment they have it and Hamas shoots rockets into Israel or attacks and Israel retaliates, you are going to see Libya, it's going to be Israel. That is exactly what I've been saying.
And that's why I posted on Barnhart.biz today, we have got to get Obama out of there now. We can't be talking about impeachment. First of all, impeachment only applies to removing a sitting legitimate president. He's not the president. We need to remove him via law enforcement action right now. We cannot wait for, let's just sweat it out until, January 2013. We don't have that long. Israel doesn't have that long. Okay, he has to be removed now because look at what they're doing right now. Look at how much this stuff is accelerating. Look at that press conference he gave. That was yesterday, is that right?
Yeah.
Look at the behavior. Man, they know. They know the jig is up, and they know that they have got to get this moving, and they have got to collapse this deal because they know that the only way that they can hold on to power and, frankly, stay out of prison is if they can collapse this country and the rule of law before the rule of law removes them from power. We have to move now.
You know, and it amazes me to throw a total wrench into this, and I know Jan will chime in. As much as Bush has been a gentleman and been quiet and said that he's not going to speak about a sitting president, why other former presidents or other politicians have not come out and said the same thing? Why are they
I'm
sitting
glad
so
you said
silent?
That. It's starting. The inertia is beginning. Just this morning, one of the first emails in my box, I received notification that retired Major General Paul Vallely today, and I just got another email tonight, he is all in. He is calling right now for Obama's removal. This is retired General Paul Vallely. A lot of your listeners, if you saw him, in fact, you can do a YouTube search on his name. You've seen him on Fox News and the other cable outlets. You'll recognize him when you see him. His last name is spelled Valley, General Paul Vallely. He's openly now calling, and he's leading the way. It's probably going to start with some high-ranking retired military, but then I would anticipate that we're going to start seeing over the next several days or weeks, we're going to start seeing people in the government calling for his resignation. Between the treasonous actions that he's executing against the economy, in the war theaters, and also the fact that it's now becoming undeniable that he is not constitutionally qualified and that he is not the president of the United States. Critical mass is being formed. I think it's happening. I think we can get rid of him within the next few weeks if we keep this inertia going.
With this crap to begin with? Why is it that the American people, why is it that we accepted to begin with this birth certificate mess? I mean, why from day one? This is what astounds me. I went to get my driver's license switched because I moved from one side of the state line to another. I have a current Arkansas license. Wanted to switch it over to a Texas license, okay? And when I went to do that, I had my Social Security card, I had my current Arkansas driver's license, I had proof of residency with utility bills from my Texas side residence, and do you know that when I stood in that line and I got up to the desk and it was my turn to get my license, the lady told me, "Ma'am, I need to see your birth certificate." And I said, "I don't have it. It's in Morris County, Texas. I would have to drive 2 hours to go get it. Isn't all of this enough?" And she said, "No, we cannot give you we cannot switch your license over to Texas without a birth certificate." And I said, "So,
that's right.
You're kidding me. You can be president of the United States of America without a valid birth certificate, but I can't even get my driver's license switched. You can't even play Little League baseball in my hometown without showing your birth certificate to prove your age. How did did we ever, how did this man ever get to run to begin with?
It's very, very simple.
The Democratic Party responsible. Whoever, the people who put him out as a candidate are responsible for the fact that he is an illegal representative in our White House.
Oh, absolutely. And I have a link on that, which I believe I posted last night, that goes through all of it. There's the high-ranking people in the Democratic Party led by Nancy Pelosi. They knew exactly what the deal is. The state of Hawaii wouldn't certify him. And so the DNC just overrode all that, led by Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi should go to prison. She should be tried with election fraud and treason, and she should go to prison for what she has done. And I'm not being facetious. The reason why they were able to get away with this is very simple. It's because Obama is black, and we have all been conditioned to believe by the Marxist milieu that you cannot criticize anybody who is non-white, and it isn't just black, it's non-white. You cannot criticize anyone who is non-white, because if you do, you are a bigot and a racist and intolerant and blah, blah, blah. That is the Marxist psyops that have been going on against us, and now here we are. People knew. People suspected from the very beginning, before the very beginning, that he was not eligible. Alan Keyes was screaming about it from the very, very beginning. But no one would do anything, and now the argument they're making is, well, you can't remove him because if you remove him, there will be race riots in the country. First of all, I don't necessarily believe that. Number two, if there are people in this country who don't believe in the rule of law and are willing to riot if we enforce the rule of law, then maybe we need to hash that deal out and get it figured out. But we can't go on like this, where people can just run roughshod with absolutely no accountability whatsoever because they belong to a certain ethnic group or a certain specially protected victim class. This all has to stop.
It's the same thing they're doing with Islam. Now, Jan, I apologize in advance because I know you hate this recording, but Anne, with what you just said, this is what Obama would say to you.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Jan hates that. I apologize in advance.
I do. I hate it. Well, I just had a brilliant idea, Gotti. I just had a brilliant idea. I think that we need a West Barnhart ticket.
No.
I do. That's exactly what we need. Here's the thing. We need patriots. We need strong patriots. We don't need politicians in Washington. That is our problem.
We
have politicians. We need real people, real human beings with brains and spunk.
The first time you've heard this, Ann.
It's not the first time I've heard it, but the answer will be consistently no forever.
Why would you not want to serve your country? As patriotic and passionate as you are.
First of all, I've already served my country. I have brought 1.8 billion people down on my head. I got on the internet and I burned a Koran with bacon in it, and then I recited my home address. Don't tell me that I haven't served my country. I'm the first person off the first Higgins boat storming the beach at Normandy. Some gave all and all gave some, all right? And don't tell me I haven't served. Number two, I know and I understand myself. I am Napoleon. I am not Reagan. I couldn't last 5 minutes in the government. I would the stalling around and the having to kiss everybody's butt and be nice to everybody, I wouldn't last 5 minutes. I would go clinically insane. It is completely and totally off the table. I am 100% permanently and forever disqualified. I couldn't even be assistant deputy dog catcher. No politics.
Have you ever thought about, prior to all this and prior to your videos, did it ever cross your mind with what was going on to even run for local office?
No. Like I told you, I couldn't operate in that milieu. I'm a benevolent dictator. And when you're a small business owner, that's cool. That works. Things get done. You can be successful. You're extraordinarily efficient as a small business owner when you're in a position where you can be a benevolent dictator. You can't have benevolent dictators in the government. Even benevolent dictators, you cannot have that in government in any level. And so
I
know that.
I have to admit that having a vice president with a pink AR-15 would be kind of cool.
It would. It certainly would.
We can buy one of those for Vice President Kane when he's inaugurated.
There you go. Can I interrupt with a 180 from the chat room, please?
Absolutely.
Sure. Anne, one of our ladies, Call Me Mom, she was wondering what your opinion of Pope Benedict as he is being sued here in, because he is believed that he knew about the abuse of of the children by one or more of the priests under his authority here.
Yeah, I think they should have been far more aggressive. The rot in the church is deep. It's very, 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 very deep, but he was not, this is not a man who would condone and enable child sexual abuse. The church is massive. There are over a billion people in the church. You cannot hold him personally responsible for something that some priest somewhere in North America was doing 30 years ago. That's not realistic. The problem and the rot in the church, if you want to look to the bishops. Look to the bishops in North America and Europe. They're all a bunch of absolute Marxists. This doesn't mean that the church is illegitimate. It doesn't mean that at all. But what people in the Roman Catholic Church need to start doing is they need to start holding these bishops accountable. When these horrible abuses are going on at Mass, they need to stand up and speak out. And if these abuses at the Mass aren't corrected, you need to go to another parish and find somewhere else to go. And there are places to go. There are good parishes. There are good Novus Ordo parishes. Stop tolerating the liturgical abuses and hold the bishop to account. That's my advice to Catholics.
Now, that actually brings me to another question, and I'll apologize in advance. I don't know why this person wanted to know this. But I've had a lot of people, actually, probably about half a dozen, ask me, when you talk to her tonight, find out, what religion is she? What do you even have a specific church
you
belong to?
Oh, yeah. I am a convert to Roman Catholicism, and beyond that, I endeavor to only attend masses that are what's called pre-Vatican II, meaning the old, ancient, Tridentine Latin Mass. It's not like the masses that are said in almost all of the parishes today. In the 60s, there was a council called Vatican II, and they completely redid the Mass to make it look like a Protestant church service. The Mass is still valid, but it's not even close to what it was for the 1,500-plus years from about 1968 all the way back. I mean, way, way, way back. It had been the same Mass all along. It's said in Latin. It is extremely reverent. It has almost, the way I describe it to people is that it has almost a military drill team look to it. If you have ever seen, like, the honor guards or anything like that,
mm-hmm.
That is what the real Mass looks like. The priest has his back to the people. There is no, the priest isn't a game show host in the old Mass. The priest has his back to the people, and he's leading the people in worship towards the altar. Everybody's facing the same direction, facing the altar. It is holy. It is sacred. It is grace-filled. Go find that. Find one of those parishes. Call your archdiocese or your diocese and say, where is the Latin Mass being said? Where is the Tridentine Mass being said? And they'll probably be able to steer you in the right direction. That's where you want to be. That's where the grace is. That's where the old church is.
Well, now you've got my curiosity piqued. You say you're a convert into, what were you prior?
I grew up, actually, it's so ironic, I grew up technically in the same denomination as Reverend Jeremiah Wright's church, the United
Really?
Church of Christ, except, of course, mine, the one I attended, wasn't a quote-unquote black church, it was white, but it was the same uber-liberal Marxist denomination. And I became disgusted with it, even as a child. I remember sitting in Sunday school when I was 10 years old, and the Sunday school teacher told us that there probably wasn't actually a person named Jesus, that it was all made up in the Middle Ages to assign a personality to a philosophical milieu.
Oh my God.
That was Sunday school in the United Church of Christ. And going to church pretty soon after that.
I can tell you, people, as a Jewish individual sitting here who grew up in Israel, Jesus did exist. I walked where
yes.
he walked. I know that it really happened. There's a
yes.
lot of history there. That's hysterical. Were your folks actually liberal?
Yes. Well, my father isn't, but my parents are divorced, believe it or not. My mother is liberal. I would describe her as kind of a wannabe Gloria Steinem, kind of a feminist. Yeah.
So you're really the black sheep then.
Well, my brother and I turned out really, really good, so.
And I'm curious about your family and their reaction to the fact that you've taken such a very public stance and a very dangerous stance against Islam. I want to know how your parents have reacted. Do you have a husband and children? Do you have family members who've reacted to all this?
That's really one of the reasons why I did this. I have no close family left anymore at all, really. I'm kind of out here alone in the world. So, no, there really isn't anybody but me, and I'm not married, of course, and no children, of course. So, no, there's...
Have you had death threats as a result of what you've
no.
done?
Yet.
Not
no,
one.
Not yet. Nope.
Yet.
Not yet.
And I say yet. So,
well, yeah, knock on wood, but no.
So basically you did this because you now have 1.8 billion people angry at you and a few hundred marriage proposals. I can see where this is going.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, that is a trip. I did not know you were single. That's very interesting. Although I didn't watch the entire video, as I admitted to in the beginning, I was unaware that you actually gave your home address. And when I had gone to your website,
that's what gave it the punch.
Yeah.
That's why it matters. If I had done it and I hadn't given my address, maybe a few thousand people would have seen it. And it was interesting as I was watching it go viral on the first day and kind of watching it on Google and what people were saying. The comment was, "Oh, smack, stay with it till the last minute. She looks straight in the camera and gives her address." That's what everybody was saying. That's the only way it matters. That's the only way it has any relevance. Come and get me. Here I am. That is the drawing the line in the sand right there. It's one thing to do something anonymously. It's another thing to back it up. We're all really, really good in this culture about hiding behind our handles on the internet and posting in chat rooms and saying all these things and running our mouths as long as nobody knows who we are or where we live. That's unhealthy.
Which is fine, and... Right, which is fine, Anne, but I do have to say this in defense of people who have children, who have other innocent family members who should not have to have their lives risked simply because they've got a parent who wants to take a stand against something like Islam. And I will tell you that I've had death threats against my life just because of posts I've made on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I am not going to give my address. Because if I have a child, I don't want someone coming after me and going after my child who is an innocent victim here. And there are people out there who want to fight this fight, and they'll get out there, but they cannot give their address. They cannot let people know where they live and, hey, here, come find me. It's, you know, bring it on. I'm right here. Here's how you find me, because I have a kid in the house or a husband who doesn't necessarily go along with all this. You know,
well,
there are people out there that it doesn't make them less patriotic or less courageous. It makes them, I think, wise and caring about the other people who might not necessarily want to get on that bandwagon and say, here I am, you know, and I'm ready to die for my country.
I hear your point, but let me rebut it. I could argue it the other way. I'm not married. I don't have any children. I'm probably never going to have any children. So that means that when I check out, whenever that is, 50, 60 years from now, that will be the end of my investment in this world, and I'm on to the next.
Right.
So from that perspective, I would argue that people like me, if you argue it purely logically, we should be the ones saying, hey, man, I just need to bide my time through this deal. There's nobody else coming up behind me. I don't have any genetic descendants. I don't have any family. So it's not about I'm just gonna chill. The people who have children, you need to look into the eyes of your children and then look deep into their eyes and see your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and understand that you are going to have a personal investment in the lives that those people lead. Those people are depending upon you to set up for them the kind of world that they are going to live in. You are accountable for developing the world that your children and grandchildren are going to live in. You are invested. And if you look back at history, who do you think has fought all the wars? Do you think that it's only been single, unattached, childless men who have fought all these wars? I think there are a lot of ladies who became war-widowed mothers during World War II and Vietnam and World War I and the Civil War and the Revolutionary War and the Crusades and all the way back who would beg to differ with you. There have been plenty of men who have had families and responsibilities, who have gone to war because of their children, So, and all you have to do is fly across the Atlantic to the north of France to Normandy, and you can look out on those graveyards where all of our soldiers are buried there, and a goodly number of those men were married with children. So we can argue both sides of this.
No, Anne, I agree with you on that 100%, and I think that that was a different war in a different time, and war was fought differently then as well. There was almost, well, we can get into the philosophical argument of the way wars were back in World War II and Normandy and things of that sort. But I'll tell you where I stand on this. Personally, I commend you for doing what you've done, for coming out and being able to say, you know, here's my address, come and get me, this is what I feel. I commend you 100%. Personally, from my own standpoint, because I have a daughter who's going to be 13, knowing when I got into this, I chose never to divulge where I live. The reason I made that choice is because I'm not going to do anybody as good as I'm doing now if I'm dead. And I've had death threats, just like Jan has. And it's, you know, and these were people, Steve Emerson, Dr. Waleed Ferez, and people like that, that I spoke with in advance before I became public, who advised me, don't do it. Don't make the mistake of giving your address. Don't even say what state you're in.
Be careful. You don't want to cheapen the sacrifice of all the men who have died in just wars up to this
point. And I agree. I agree with that 100%. I really do. And believe me, I've given my time in the service. So I know that.
Yeah.
I've been there, done that. And I know that. But if God forbid something happens to any one of us that are right now speaking on the air, or, you know, Vito or Alan or any of these people, Steve Emerson, Robert Spencer, Waleed Ferez, you know, I could go on and on and start naming all the people that I know personally who are in the anti-terror, anti-Islam field. What good is it going to do if they die as a martyr? Yeah, okay, they'll die as a martyr and it'll be published and we'll say, oh, look, this is the truth of this particular so-called religion. This is what Islam is all about. They spoke the truth and they died for it. But that'll be the end of it. Why silence?
That's right, and you're not coming back to fight another day, Gotti. And number two,
exactly.
What good does it do for your little daughter to get brutally murdered because of a position her father took? And she's totally innocent. I think that we have to use – I think that Anne had a right to do, and she certainly – I don't think less of her for doing it. But I also think that you should not put people down, Anne, who are trying to protect their children, because that is – Gotti's little girl that has nothing to do with any of this, but any Muslim or any enemy that wants to get to Gotti knows the first thing and the best way to bring him down is to get to his little girl.
Oh, absolutely. That was the reason, you know,
that,
and I've
that's
said
why
that.
That. Well, when I started getting death threats and I turned them over to the FBI, I had an FBI agent tell me, first of all, delete your Facebook accounts, period. Get them off. Secondly, if you're going to keep them up there and you're going to keep fighting this fight, which I am and I have, he said, you take all personal information off there. Don't tell people where you live. Don't tell them whether you do or do not have children. Don't tell them where you work, because what good does it do for you as a warrior if you're not alive to come back and fight the next day? And certainly, what good does it do for your poor, innocent child who doesn't even have anything to do with any of this, who isn't even old enough to fight this fight? Why should that child have to die for your position? It's not right. I think that we speak well, and we speak for our children, and we are good role models for our children. When we take a stand and get involved in our government, we take a stand for what is right. And if I have a child, and I'm not going to say whether or not I do, because I'm trying to protect my own personal private life, but if I do, I guarantee you that my child would know that her mother has done everything humanly possible to take a stand for what she knows is right in this country. She's not a coward. She's not a coward for simply trying to protect the privacy of innocent people who just might happen to be in her family. So I disagree with you there. Gotti, you're right. And I agree with you. Back in the earlier wars, it was a different time, a different place. This is a new kind of war, and we're playing with enemies that don't play by the rules, and you know that. They play dirty. Look at the children who have died, who have been brutally murdered because of positions their parents have taken. That's not right. You know, they don't play. Back in the old days, people fought the wars by the rules. Well, these people that we're fighting are animals. They don't have integrity. They don't play by the rules. So
that's right. That's
right.
Yeah,
so
no,
we have to protect the innocents, but still get out there and fight. And I know a heck of a lot of patriots out there who I don't want to marginalize simply because they're out there fighting the fight, but protecting the privacy of the innocent children that are in their families.
Yeah, and I gotta chime in real quick. I don't think Anne was saying that those that don't do what she did are cowards. I think she agrees with us, and she knows. I made this decision because of my daughter. I mean, you just hit the nail on the head. I said, and I've told Reese this, I've told other people this, and Jan, I think I told you, if I die doing what I'm doing, I don't care. I knew going into this, that was a sacrifice that I was willing to make.
That's right.
But I'm protecting my child. So I don't think, and I think that is the difference, Anne, because Anne doesn't have any children, and of course I'm speaking because you don't have any kids, you know, that you become a different individual when you have a child, and there's no doubt about that.
Well, it's all about discerning your vocation in life, and we're all different. My vocation is different from the neighbor's vocation, and so on and so forth. And I think it's become pretty clear in the last week and a half that my vocation is definitely that of warrior. And not everybody's vocation is warrior, and that's okay. The cowardice that I have a problem with is when people are more afraid of getting defriended by somebody on Facebook than they are
Absolutely.
Of standing up and witnessing to the truth in our culture. So in that regard, I am 110% with you guys. You've got to speak up. That's not the issue. And I agree with you. I think we're all back on the same page now.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Can I butt in real quick? This
Absolutely, Reese. You've been quiet.
I know. I'm frustrated here. You guys were talking about, I don't remember what, somebody said something, but it brought up a question that I have seen in various posts under the YouTubes and other things, or it's not so much a question, it's so much as a comment, and I got to wondering, good question. Do you think that, because you use pretty strong, no holds barred, no mincing words type language, and if you're easily offended with strong language, some would call it foul, they would be offended by your, and have been offended by your video. Some even stated that it would do better for you to clean up your language because that's not your language isn't very Christian-like. I kind of chuckle at that. Anyway.
Oh, I'm so glad you say that. Can I just speak to that before I forget?
Sure.
What name, really the only bad language, I think these two, the Lindsey Graham ones, this is the first time I've ever used any curse words at all. And what is the curse word that I use? What do I call Lindsey Graham? I call him a jackass. A jackass is an animal. It's a species of animal. It's a donkey, right? It's a jackass.
Right.
Now go look in the Gospels and look at what our Lord calls people. He calls people, you brood of vipers. He calls people names of animals to make a point. So I don't think that my calling Lindsey Graham a jackass, I mean, I don't think that is in the same category as the kind of foul language that people use. And I know exactly what you're talking about and what you're referencing. I would never use that kind of language. But I was, in a sense, using the example of our Lord who tore into people like the Pharisees and so forth and would call them, you fools, you brood of vipers. That if our Lord can talk like that to people to get their attention and make his point, then if he's God, and so I can't argue with that that example.
No, that's a wonderful, wonderful point. I think the only word that I heard you use that would be offensive, especially to evangelicals, but you used it in the proper sense, was when I was watching your video, and it was probably the third or fourth page you were burning. As you lit it, you said, go back to hell where you came from. That's about the only time.
Oh, and I also called Allah an SOB. I called Allah an SOB.
Yes.
I did do that. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, but that was, I think that's what I was seeing throughout is, You know, wouldn't you be more effective if you, I don't think this is the exact words, but I'm paraphrasing, obviously. Wouldn't you be more effective if you didn't use foul language and stuff like that? And I'm thinking, but this is her personality. This is how I'm taking it. This is your personality. It's coming off. And sometimes, okay, you've got people like me who, my public persona typically is not necessarily, I don't have a strong mouth as I typically do with just my friends or on a casual basis. I could probably, you know, match you and jump you.
Richie has the mouth of a drunken sailor, there's no doubt.
I do. I have a really foul mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
And it does, and I will. But, so, you know, strong language doesn't bother me. It doesn't offend me. It's just one of those things. They're words. And every kind of word has its own effect. And in this particular instance, I'm thinking, you know what, the whole point behind this was the sensational to grab you by your collar and shake you and wake you the hell up. And
that is
what your videos do with your language and everything, the way you formulate your words, the way you enunciate, the way you, just even the words you use. You're
well,
catching people by their collars and shaking them up.
It's
righteous anger. There is such a thing as righteous anger. And I would encourage everybody, Google, what term should you Google? It's George Washington and maybe cussing. Google George Washington cussing. There is a written anecdote of George Washington, General Washington, during the Revolutionary War, after some battle that didn't go well, and somebody wrote down this anecdote about George Washington using a torrent of language that would make a longshoreman blush, including the F-word. Okay? George Washington wasn't sitting around saying, all right, my good men, I would like to now do this, this, and this. Don't think for a second that in the throes of war that these men don't use that kind of language in order to get their point across. And that's where we are right now. I mean, this was, like you said, this is knocking people upside the head. Wake up. I'm getting your attention right now. And understand, guys, I don't talk like that. In fact, I kind of fall on and off the wagon in terms of language. I went for a span of years where I never ever uttered a single curse word. In fact, I got so good that they weren't even going through my mind. And then I will admit that the righteous anger started to creep back in, and the words started to come back into my mind, and I'm struggling with that. But don't think that I'm here running my business as a commodity broker and I'm picking up the phone and I'm using language like this. I don't at all. Not at all.
Well, see, and that's why I'm saying, you know, when I was reading those comments, I'm thinking, but there's a time and a place, and this is a moment where it needs to be for effect. And that's what it is.
Yes.
It's for effect. It's to wake people up, to shake them out of their stupor. It's supposed to. You have your people who you could talk to in a rational tone, calm verbiage, and they'll get it. But then you've got that group of people that just won't wake up until they get smacked upside their face really hard.
That's right.
And sometimes you have to get rather harsh about it.
But
I have the perfect place for Anne's disposition and her shock factor. She needs to be Glenn Beck's replacement. She needs that time slot on Fox. Can you imagine? It would be an instant hit. It would be she would automatically fit in with the audience. You know, they need to, seriously, Fox has lost something serious, some major credibility to me when Glenn Beck left the air. I just,
well, she would definitely
well, they've
have
had,
a
they've had a horrible couple of weeks. They've had a horrible couple of weeks between that and O'Reilly just completely capitulating on the birth certificate issue and Hannity just being a complete milksop. I'm seeing a lot of chatter on the internet. People are just like, okay, Fox News, I'm kind of done with that now. We need to find something else.
Well, I want you to know, Ann, I Googled George Washington cursing, and there are some great lines in here. There's one quote that I can read on the air that I think is really interesting. It says, an army of asses led by a lion is better than an army of lions led by an ass. So,
that's good.
That was,
go, Georgie.
That was a quote. But, you know, it's when I remember back when ABC, I believe it was, and I could be wrong, so forgive me, CBS or NBC, if I'm wrong, but I think it was ABC, that wanted to play Saving Private Ryan uncut. And there was this big argument with the FCC about whether or not they should cut out curse words. And I remember having this conversation with someone and saying, you know, when you get shot and you've got bullets flying over your head and buddies are dying in your arms, you're not going to go, ooh, ouch, that hurts. You're going to hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the honesty that comes out when she does this. Obviously, you didn't use a teleprompter. Obviously, the stuff wasn't written down. It came from your heart, and what came out...
No, actually, I have to correct you. The part one, the part about Lindsey Graham, I do have a redneck teleprompter. So, yes, I was reading it because I wanted it to be just perfect. Yes,
no,
so
no,
I don't want
what
any...
What is a redneck teleprompter, Ann?
It is it's a frame with a 45-degree angle piece of one-way mirror that you can set right in front of the lens of your camcorder, and then you set your laptop up underneath that, and then your laptop bounces up into that mirror, and you can run your Word document in front of you.
I'm
That's
impressed.
Too smart to be called a redneck one.
That's right. I agree.
Yeah. No, but I was referring to when you burned the Quran. That was coming from your heart, and you could see that.
That was extemporaneous.
No,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
that's, you know, that's honesty. And it, you know what? It got people talking about it. It got people to watch it, and it did exactly what it was meant to do. And the fact that
we're
discussing it now is more proof of that. But I do think that
the
Glenn Beck idea is pretty good, because Judge Napolitano can't hold a flame to you, so.
No, sorry. I got my cattle, you know. I got to take care of my cattle and all my customers, so.
I got my cattle.
Well, Ann, if you
gosh.
Had Glenn Beck's time slot and his salary, you could pay someone else to take care of your cattle, and you could go check on them when you felt like it.
Oh, I don't want to profit off of this. I don't want to make any money off of this. I just.
It's not about profit. It's about getting in a position to give you more exposure to get the message out, which is actually what you do need to do and you do want to do. I mean, isn't it? If you're not going to run for office, then you need a platform from which to speak. And other than getting a bullhorn, and you know, I don't know what else you could do. The YouTube videos are great, but you know people need to know where they can find you on a consistent basis and hear what you have to say.
Well, what if there comes a point where I don't really have anything to say? What if we can get through this and everything quiets down? I don't want to be yelling at people and cursing people out as my vocation for the rest of my life, you know? I only want to do that if it's absolutely necessary. I don't want to have to be chewing the butt of my government as my job, and then feeling forced like I have to be angry all the time and I have to have this righteous indignation and this wrath all the time. You should only have that when it's appropriate, and then if God willing, if we're able to save the Republic and stabilize everything, I just want to go back to work. In fact, I've been working here all along. You know, I'm still trading the markets and brokering for my clients and doing speaking engagements and everything else. So I don't want to put myself into a position where I have to be ginning up and fomenting anger and indignation in myself just to satisfy a public demand for that, you know?
Were you politically active in chewing the butt of the government before Obama was elected?
I had opinions, but no. The election of Obama was a complete game changer.
Right.
Everything changed at that point. Nothing like this has ever happened before, and please God, let this never, ever, ever happen again. Hopefully we're learning our lesson here.
Well, how has it been for you since the release of your video? I mean, you know, we heard about this this preacher down in Florida from it wasn't Westboro. What was the name of that? Well, I don't remember his. But they blamed him for the burning of the churches in Afghanistan and the killing of people. Has your phone been ringing off the hook? Have you been getting a lot of interviews on radio and television from this?
None on television. I've done several on radio, but it's all been internet radio. Phone's been ringing a little bit, but I posted right away on my website, please don't call me during daytime market hours, because, you know, my clients need to be calling in, so people have been pretty good about that. And again, I am not going, I will probably never hear from anyone in the mainstream media, and I doubt I'll hear from anybody in the government, because again, these people only want to go up against people who are going to make them look good by comparison. That's why all the attention is on Terry Jones, and I don't mean to be harsh on the guy, but he is not as well prepared to defend his position and argue the logic behind the position and cite the Quran and cite the Constitution and be able to do all this right off the top of his head the same way I am. None of the politicians would ever want to be in the same room with me. If I showed up at a town hall meeting, I think whoever was there would be running out the door claiming that they had projectile diarrhea or something like that. The media, the same thing. Why is no one in the mainstream media calling me? Because they know that I would tear them to shreds. I would tear them a new one, and that includes all the conservatives. That's one of the original points that I made. Why did I have to do this? Explain this to me. Why did a single 34-year-old woman who is a small business owner, who's working and living the dream and paying her taxes and just living the life, why in the world am I the one who had to do this? I will go up against anybody and demand and hold them to account for why it is that they don't have the balls that I have.
Hear, hear. Mm-hmm. No argument for me. See, Reese, that's why we don't get invited on to other shows and TV, because they don't want to go up against us.
Mm-hmm.
I know nobody wants to go against Jan.
I actually have been invited. I've done a couple of shows, and you know that.
Yeah,
Yes. But honestly, before Ann Barnhart, seriously, you guys know that the things I was proposing were considered radical and extreme. And what I did 6 months ago was simply say, okay, we've got this problem. We've got an Islam problem in this country. What can we do about it? Well, here was my solution. My solution was let's have some sort of legislation, add verbiage to the First Amendment, that any religion that's Book of Directives commands that if people commit crimes that are against the laws of this country, then that religion ceases to be a recognized designated religion in this country. It loses its tax-exempt status, and it shall be banned from practice here. That was just the first step legally to stop it, to stop the
right.
practice of Islam in this country. Then, for people who want to be a Muslim, then get them out of our country. I didn't even take that step. All I said was, let's make the practice of Islam illegal in this country, because it is not a religion. It is not. It is a theocracy that hides behind the mask of a religion to accomplish its mission of world domination, and we are the target. People in this country don't realize we're the target, so this would eliminate, without naming a religion, that fixes it. What other religion that's being practiced in this country directs its people to commit crimes that are against the laws of this country?
Exactly.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Is there another one? I don't know if another one. So when I first started just posting that, I threw that out there on my Facebook, and when I first started posting it, people were like, I don't know, it's kind of radical, it's kind of extreme, and I got all these private messages. I'm with you, girl, but, you know, I can't really click like on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I posted it, as time has passed, and people are getting more outraged at what our president is doing and what Islam is doing around the world, and people are beginning to wake up. Now they're commenting it. Now they're saying, I'm with you. I agree completely. But I agree with you. It's got to go even further than that. I mean, we've got to get serious about this, and I think we need to not only do that and ban the practice of Islam in this country, but you're still going to have pockets of people who are practicing it. I think those people need to be deported. And you say, you know what, if you're a Muslim, we need to deport them, close our borders, seal our borders, bring our military home, get our country back in shape, get the security handles in our country, and then we'll deal with the rest of the world. I'm not an isolationist by any means, but I think
right.
we've got so many problems here at home that we need to stop taking care of all the problems in the Middle East and fix our situation here and make us secure before we
Amen.
Because as you said, it's like having Nazis, pockets of Nazis in this country practicing
That's right.
and meeting
mm-hmm.
Exactly. And we're allowing it, and not only are we allowing it, we have our legislators out there, like Lindsey Graham, saying, and let's don't talk about him, don't say anything negative about him, because it might be a crime. We might have to make this a crime to disrespect Islam. You know, they can burn they can stomp on our flag, they can burn our flag. They can fly airplanes into our towers and kill thousands of people, and yet we can't say anything negative about Islam because it's intolerant. According to Petraeus, it's disrespectful and intolerant, and according to Lindsey Graham, it's criminal.
That's
the problem.
Yeah. That would be like saying, okay, it's January of 1942, the Japanese have just bombed Pearl Harbor. Okay, now, everybody, don't say anything bad about the Japanese, because if you do, they might hit us again.
Right.
The same thing. It's exactly the same argument. Yep.
And here's another argument. Here's another thing that I continuously get hit with, Anne, and I know you've heard this as well. People will say, well, but there are peaceful Muslims. What about the peaceful Muslims? You know, we can't just get rid of those folks, and we have to understand that there are peaceful Muslims that have never done anything to harm us. And I said, there's no such thing as a peaceful Muslim. There's a Muslim that's not actively terrorizing, but their finances are supporting terror around the world. The tithe that they give, that they're required to give, is supporting terrorism, number one. Number two, the theocracy that they attach themselves to, that they espouse to, is terrorist.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead and answer real quick.
Okay, the answer to that is all you have to do is come back at someone who says that and ask them, is there any such thing as a good Nazi? Is there any such thing as a good Ku Klux Klansman? Is there any such thing as a good black shirt fascist?
Right.
Confront them with that. Ask them if there's any such thing as a good Nazi or a good Klansman or a good black shirt fascist. They'll just be standing there drooling. And that's it right there. The issue is the underlying political system. The underlying political system is evil to the core with no redeeming qualities, just like Nazism, just like the Ku Klux Klan, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing good about it. You can't take something that's evil and put lipstick on it and call it any and say that it's good. That doesn't work.
I'm sure you've seen the video.
I'm sorry, Jen.
You all have seen the video that's out, but, you know, you can say that, and I love your answer, Anne, and it's a perfect answer. It's exactly the right answer, except that you can say that to some liberals, and they will sit there and look at you and come back and say, well, you're still wrong. You know, they're just – some people just don't get it. They just don't.
It's a mental illness.
Right.
It's the way that I always explain it, because I use a better example, and I talk about a guy that was born in the United States in Roanoke, Virginia. He went to elementary school, junior high school, and high school here. After high school, he entered medical school. He joined the Army. He was a patriot. And look at Fort Hood, because Major Nadal Hassan was an American who at some point, you know, if they want to use the term radicalized, and you know I don't like using the word radical versus moderate, because by saying that, if you say moderate, you're implying there's something such as a radical. It's political correctness. Somewhere along the line, he became devout, and that's what it is. And that's the difference between your peaceful Muslim and your non-peaceful Muslim. Where do you draw that line? Sooner or later, they're going to cross that fence, and I don't want to be around when they cross it, because then you have a Fort Hood situation.
Other thing is that they've taken polls. They've taken polls of Muslims who are living particularly in Western nations and asked them, do you support suicide bombings? And it's like 80-some-odd percent. Mm-hmm. They support it. They're sending money to it. They're not doing it themselves. But if you ask them, do you support these actions, it's an enormous, enormous number of them that say, yes, they do. So it's a huge problem. We can't get around this. We have to grow up and have an adult conversation about all of this.
No, you're absolutely right. Reese, what were you trying to sneak in earlier?
With 8 minutes to go of the show, I wanted to throw in a couple of thoughts coming in the chat room. One was, and I got to find it again because they keep talking. I'm going to do a two-part question, so hopefully you can remember them both. Ask her what to say to people that want Trump to run. And the second one is from Vito. The first one was from Call Me Mom. The other one is from Vito, who says, would Ann meet with the local imam in Colorado to learn that Islam is peaceful?
First Trump. I am happy that Trump is running only because of the fact that he's forcing the conversation. Mm-hmm. He's not my favorite person in the world, but just the fact that he is forcing this conversation about the birth certificate and the eligibility, I think it's great. So more power to him there. But again, I'm of the opinion that the only qualified man in the field is Lieutenant Colonel West right now, and hopefully with Mr. Kane as his running mate. Number two, I would relish the opportunity to go head-to-head with any imam anywhere, and bring the video cameras, because I promise you, it would be gold. It would be nothing but solid gold.
Well, make sure if you do that, you have video of it, and I'll put it on my website for sure.
You betcha.
Oh, my gosh. We have only got about 5 minutes left, and I just got to start thank yous now because I know it's going to go on forever. And you have spent the entire 2 hours with us, and you are welcome back with an open invitation. No need to check with me first. You can call in anytime. This has been very, very wonderful, very eye-opening. I have to congratulate you, first of all, on your first article with American Thinker yesterday. That post. And I want to thank you for doing what we always talk about here on this program and on Radio Jihad on Mondays and Tuesday nights. That is to educate yourself, because you did that. You know, you saw what happened on 9/11, and you took the bull by the horns, again, no pun with your cattle, and you said, I want to learn more about this. You know, you could have said, oh, yeah, well, that's a shame, and, you know, gone about your life like everybody else, but you chose to educate yourself, and you did it the right way. Because you didn't just believe what you heard, you didn't believe what you read, you picked up a copy of the Quran, and you read it.
Right.
And that is the difference, and I cannot thank you enough, and I cannot commend you enough. And I want to say real quick, back when this whole Burn the Quran Day started on my radio program, and Jan, I don't think you were on that night, but we had Reese with us, I invited two different people on that were both Islamic scholars. One was Dr. Thomas Ahmed, and the other was Usama Dakdok. And I knew that one of them was for Burn the Quran all the way, which would be Osama. But I knew Thomas Ahmed is very laid back and doesn't go that route. And I thought I was going to have this great conversation where when I proposed, what do we do about the Burn the Quran Day, that they were going to disagree. And they both agreed with each other on one premise. They said, read it first, then burn it. And you did exactly that.
There you go,
that.
Exactly.
And
yep.
That is exactly what you did, because you didn't burn it for the sake of burning it. You burned it because of what was written in it, and that's what people need
to
learn. So I cannot thank you enough. Wonderful, wonderful video. Please plug your website again so people know where to find your blogs.
Oh, sure. It's www.barnhart, that's barnhart.biz, and it's kind of redneck. Remember, everybody, that was originally the website of my business. It's not a formalized blog, so be merciful. It doesn't have RSS feeds and Facebook enablements and all that kind of stuff. It's just a good old-fashioned redneck website.
Well, I'm going to be sure to link it to my website after the show. Any closing comments, Jan?
No, I'm just glad that we had Ann Barnhart on. Aren't you glad I suggested her?
Absolutely.
And Ann, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and it is an honor to just have the opportunity to hear your voice once again and listen to your patriotism, because, you know, we are short of that in this country right now. More people are emerging, and we're seeing more patriots, but I'm seeing a lot of patriots who have an opinion, but then they can't back it up, and you're one who can, and I'm just so thankful for that, and I hope you just keep plugging away.
Oh, thank you guys so much, and thank you for the wonderful, robust conversation. It was just wonderful. We had lots of back and forth, and we didn't agree on everything, but we muddled our way through it, and we all came to the same place at the end, so it was awesome.
Well, we all agree that we love the pink AR-15. There's no doubt
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely.
It's sitting right here next to me, so I'm waving at it for you.
That's the reason you don't have to worry. It's not that you own an AR-15. I think they're afraid of the fact that it's pink. So.
Exactly. I would shame them while I was shooting at them, so yeah.
Exactly. Reese, I see your mic is muted there. Do you have any closing comments or anything that you wanted to hit us with the last 1 minute?
No, I just want to thank Ann for joining us and just being patient with the flubbing at the beginning and everything like that, and, you know, fabulous. And I have to agree with you also. that the reason why I can get behind and support her is that because, and this, and we've talked about this, is that because she's educating before she's burning. Otherwise, I can't, you know, I can't respectfully support her.
Right.
So, and my husband, I talked to him the other day and gave him kind of the run too about you. And I said, you know, people are going to ask, you know, what's a soldier's opinion who's been in the position of, you know, dealing with the riots and stuff from the Middle East. And he said, I signed up and swore an oath to the defend and protect the Constitution of the United States, and I am not going to take or ask her to take away her First Amendment rights. She has the right to do that, and I will defend her to do it.
Absolutely.
So there you go, from a soldier that's from the field.
Right on.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, for those that don't know, Reese's husband is currently overseas. So, and that's why we're lucky enough to have her every Thursday, because if he was at home, I'm sure she wouldn't be on the air with us.
And what's on your agenda next? You started writing for The American Thinker. What else can we expect from you in the near future?
Near future is going to be a big expose on the whole culture of homosexuality, homosexual pedophilia, and heterosexual pedophilia in the Muslim world, because it's completely systemic.
Ooh, when can we expect that to come out?
Within a couple of days.
All right.
You're going to have to give me a copy of that so we can get it on FSM as well.
It'll be on Barnhart.biz. So just keep an eye on that. It'll be right there.
Well, Ann, we are going to keep in touch, and I want to thank everybody for being in the chat room tonight, and thank Ann for being on, and it has been a wonderful show, and we will talk to everybody next Thursday, same time, same channel. Okay, everybody, we are off the air right now, but we are still recording. Ann, thank you so much. Great, great conversation.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
You have been a wonderful, wonderful guest and put up with all of us, and that tells me right there you can put up with anything.
No, you're great. It was a great show.
Well, I seriously do want to keep in touch. I don't know if American Thinker is doing exclusives or what the story is with that, but the Family Security Matters editor was definitely dead serious when he said he'd love to have you submit some articles. So.
Oh yeah, I'm not exclusively committed to Dr. Lifson. I can do whatever I want. So you bet.
Well, I will shoot you an email with his email address, and that way you can get up with him and submit whatever you want, and I know that it'll end up in Family Security Matters. If you're not familiar with Family Security Matters, it's familysecuritymatters.com or familysecuritymatters.org, and they're a great website, and we're doing a lot more on Islam. I'd like to say I was one of the first writers on Islam, but that's not really true. There were a couple people ahead of me, little people like Waleed Ferez and Steve Emerson, but, you know, I'm up there now. So I got mentioned by Michelle Malkin. That's my big claim to fame. She quoted me. I'm never going to hear the end of that. Oh, but it has been wonderful, and I really appreciate you taking 2 hours of your evening with us. By the way, you're on which time zone, Central or Pacific?
Mountain. I'm in Denver.
What time is it where you are now, 7?
It's 8 o'clock.
Okay, you're 2 hours
yep.
behind East Coast. All right. And Jan, where you are, it's what, 9 o'clock?
Yes, Central time.
Oh, boy, I can't keep all this straight. I'll tell you. It was so much easier in Israel. We had one time zone. Then again, Israel could fit inside New Jersey, so that says something. Well, listen, everybody, thank you so much. If you guys want to chat, I'm willing to stay on. It's up to you, because as soon as I log off, it shuts it all down. But
I have got stuff I have to take care of, but it certainly has been a pleasure, and what a great opportunity. I just am so thankful for that. I think we definitely haven't heard the last of Ann Barnhart, and so
I hope not.
Makes us to see what lies ahead. No, I'm thinking Fox seriously needs this woman. Really?
No.
She likes her cattle. There's no getting her. You can't put away from that.
Getting
cattle.
Around those cattle. Well,
you
maybe bring the show to her. I don't know.
I don't know. You go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was saying, being from Texas, that Jan should understand the cattle thing.
I do understand the cattle. I love the cattle thing. I'm, you know, that's right up my alley. I'm a horsewoman, so, I like the horses, and I like cutting horses, which work cattle, I'm sure.
You have to buy the calves and keep the calves so the horses have something to work. So
that's exactly right. Yeah.
And
well, you guys, it's been fun. I have got to run. Thank you so much,
all right.
Scotty, Reese, and talk to y'all later.
All right, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Reese, we have that recorded now, that Jan actually said, I'm a horsewoman.
Okay.
Oh, no.
You know, why
good.
The long face? Oh, never mind. Anyway.
I just don't get it. Yeah. Sorry.
And
it's over my head, 747 flu.
Yeah, I hear you. And I definitely want to keep in touch, be it via email or phone or what have you. You've got my phone number, and I certainly don't want to be a pain in your butt, and hopefully your phone will be ringing off the hook with other offers for interviews and such. But definitely keep in touch with me, please.
You bet. If there's one thing that's for certain in all of this, you know how to get a hold of me. So
you're a tough lady to get a hold of. I mean, the first time we spoke was tonight on the air. So, you know, all the messages I left.
It's just because of the phenomenon of just over the last week, I've been getting thousands and thousands of emails, but it's finally started to slow down, and I'm able to stay on top of it now, so it should be a lot better.
Well, good. Now you can start reading them all, and you'll have to let me know when you get your first death threat, and you can join the club.
I've gotten all of them read. I've gotten every email and every comment read, and lots of handwritten letters as well. That was my commitment. It became very clear very soon that I wasn't going to be able to personally reply to everybody, but I said I'm going to make the commitment that I'm going to read everything, so I'm on top of it.
Well, good for you. That's awesome. Yeah, I actually have replied to everything, even if it's just a thanks for your comments.
But I take the time
to do that. But there's a difference because I'm out there, you know, with the radio and the articles and such, so I made that commitment going into this. Well, thank you so, so much for joining us, and I will definitely stay in touch. And I'll shoot you an email with Adrian's email address. He's the editor at FSN.
Oh, perfect.
So,
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, if you want to get out there, I'm on more than half a dozen different publications, and I can certainly hook you up with each and every one of them if you want to. So that's up to you.
Oh, you're too kind. My goodness. Thank you.
Not at all, not at all. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time. Thanks for spending 2 hours with us tonight.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thanks for the opportunity to help spread the word.
All right. You have a great night.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thanks again.
Good night. Bye.
Reese, you have a wonderful time, my dearest. Are there still people in the chat room?
Just Tracy and me, and there's a couple of guests, but they're not talking. So I think everybody's waiting for archives.
I'm very surprised that we didn't get any phone calls tonight.
I sat and watched. Yeah, the only phone call was me. I was really surprised
because Radio Jihad had a whole bunch.
Yeah, we had a lot of guests, a lot of people in chat, and just no callers.
Well, they know we monitor the chat room, and I think that's the difference.
Yeah, that's true.
They can ask questions that way. All right, well, I'm going to rock and roll. It's after 10 here, and it's after 10 where you are. Give the kids a kiss goodnight for me, and have a wonderful, fun-filled night, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, hon. Night.
And I'll post this up on Facebook as soon as I get the podcast done.
Okay, if I'm still up, I'll pop it.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Night.
Bye-bye.